for the King in you on today. Just want to say it's an exciting moment to be in the studio to just let everybody know about the things God is doing and about the King in you and what God wants to do, not only just through the people in the world, but just through in men in general. I believe a lot of times men are misunderstood or we have certain challenges that seem to keep us hindered. And the King in you is our very first book we're airing. And we want to actually just take an approach as to how God would teach us and through biblical teaching on bringing out the King in every man. Because I believe, and the Bible teaches us, that in every man that there is a King. But sometimes through life ups and downs, life toils, life challenges, and our life experiences, we find ourselves not living up to our fullest potential and not living up to the call God has called us to. And today, we want to look at how do men go from stuck, stagnant, and struggling to being the Father, the King, the man of God, and everything God has called us to be as men. Again, my name is Steve Johnson. I am the host for The King in You. If you want to call into the station, give us a call at 818-691-7406. Again, 818-691-7406. And we're going to be dealing with the issues that plague men and why aren't we living out to our fullest potential? Why aren't we being all that God has called us to be? So go call your husband, your boyfriend, somebody you may be shacking up with. It does not matter. If he's a man, if he is a man, having to tune in to the radio show, having to tune in and just listen and see what thus says the Lord. Let's just see what we as men, what God is telling us in this day, in this hour, in this time, how can we go from being that little boy in that man's body to being the King that's within us? So again, the number to call us at the station is 818-691-7406. That's 818-691-7406. I'm going to open us up in a word of prayer, and we're gonna go forward from there. Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you again for life, health, strength. We thank you for just the opportunity, Lord God, to be able to share what thus says God. But Father, even more, we thank you, God, for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, making a way that the day we decide to come out of our stuff, our mess, our transgressions, God, that you made a way for us to escape, oh God. So, God, we say thank you tonight. We say thank you for the callers. We say thank you for the men, God, that lives are going to be changed. And through their lives being changed, homes are going to be changed. Families are going to be changed. And neighborhoods are going to be changed. Communities will be changed. And cities will be changed. And states will be changed based upon one man listening to the call and the clarity, God, that you're going to give us on tonight. So, God, we have so much to be grateful for, so much to be thankful for. And, God, we truly honor what you've done through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus Christ's matchless and powerful name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, God bless everyone. Again, my name is Steve Johnson. I will be your host on this afternoon. The King in You is our very first broadcast. And we definitely want to just welcome everyone who will be willing to call in, welcome everyone who may need prayer, just whatever the need may be, that we are here for you. And again, the number to call us is 818-691-7406, 818-7406. Now, one of the things we really wanted to discuss and really look into is today we have a lot of men that are not actually walking in their calling. Why so many men find themselves stuck, stagnant, and struggling? Why so many men find themselves not walking out, living up to God's potential? We have a lot of abuse in the home on today. We have a lot of men spend more time watching football games, watching baseball games, and watching everything else besides being the man, the king God is calling to be over his family. We have so many men now, they're caught up in the cause, they're caught up in the other women, they're caught up in everything else but what the will of God would be for their lives. Why is that? Why do we find a society where divorce is on the rise and where divorce is the norm? Why do we find that here at such a time as this? Why do we find so many single-parent homes? Is it that the men just not getting it? What is it that is calling men to walk away, to give up, and everything seems hopeless? What is it? And I'm a firm believer because I'm a man myself, and in my younger years, I made a plethora of different mistakes. And all of us, I'm sure, have made some type of mistakes in our lives that either we didn't know any better, or either we just didn't care, or there was not that we weren't conscious enough to really know the wrong in what we was doing. But tonight, we as men, have to stand up and become the priest over our household, become the father for our children, and become the provider for our families. Tonight, we want to talk to the king in you. Brothers, there's a king inside of you, and God didn't call us to sell drugs. God didn't call us to hang on street corners. God didn't call us to live a life recklessly and be malicious in our relationship. God did not call us to that lifestyle. Now, what has happened is that because we don't know who we are, that's a vital, important thing. We don't know who we are. So whatever the world tells us, that's what we're going to believe. Whatever you tag me to be, that's what I become. Whatever you say I am, I'll walk into that. Or you're going to be just like your daddy, just like your cousin, just like your uncle, and we find ourselves being everything that someone has called us to be. But tonight, the Bible says there's a king in you. Tonight, the Bible says there's a high priest in you. Tonight, the word says there's a father in you. Tonight, the word says there's integrity in you. Tonight, the word says you are a royal priesthood. Tonight, the word says that you are a king in the eyes of God. So we really, really want to tap into that tonight. We really want to tap into that tonight. How do we men go from we have trust issues? And I can testify at one point in my life, I had some trust issues. Didn't know how to get from A to B because I got the trust issues. And I know tonight you may have some. And sometimes we feel our trust issues are justified based upon our past and previous experiences. And it's hard to learn how to trust someone again because of some of our own insecurities. Hello, I'm talking to somebody out there. Some of our own insecurities we place that on somebody else. And legitimately, out of some past relationships, we have been hurt. And we end up hurting someone else. If what am I saying that hurt people? And I tell anyone now, any brother that's listening, man of God, I'm speaking it into your life now. That, hey, listen, if you're just getting out of a relationship, give yourself a year. Give yourself a year to heal be restored, be refocused, reconditioned, renewed, and then find out what God is saying for you. Find out what God is telling you about you. Because we've been called to be the priest over the house. And that don't mean we go around trying to dictate, run, and control the house. That's not what God is saying. Even when the Bible teaches about the man is the head of the household, if you look at that word more carefully, more intensely, that the word head is a Greek word which translates back into first. Not dominant, not controlling, not you better. If you don't, none of that. What head means is first, meaning I'm the man. I'm the first to wash the dishes. I'll be the first to apologize. I'll be the first one to show you how it's done. I'll be the first one to get a job. I'll be the first one to lay it all on the line. I'll be the first one to sacrifice everything. Man is the example. Jesus is the very example of what a man should be. Matter of fact, Jesus is the very example in what a woman looks for a man to be. We must follow God. But what if we don't know anything about God? How do we find our solace in our lives? How do we go on? How do we go forward? How do we move on? How, people of God? What do we do, brothers? How do we go forward? And I'm a firm believer. Listen, I for a long time, I didn't know God. I was with woman after woman after woman, thinking I was okay, thinking I was fine, drinking Hennessy, doing everything I was big and bad enough to do. Thinking I'm cute, I'm God gives to women, but I really wasn't a man. I wasn't a man. Because you can be a player, or because you think you're debonair or suave, or you got swagger, you got a nice car, you dress nice, you talk nice, you got money. That don't make you a man. The Bible says a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things in which he possessed. So that lends an ear to that everything that I own that's tangible, that I can touch, that I can see, that I can drive, that I can wear, hello, that don't make me nothing. That don't make me be a man. How big my house is don't make me be a man. If I wear polo every day, don't make me be a man. If I got 5 girlfriends and 15 wives, that don't make me be a man. What makes us become a man? What makes us walk in that arena? What makes us allow us to be that or become that is through God, brothers. It's through God. Ask yourself tonight, men. Can you afford to live 5 more years? And let's be real. Listen, we're going to keep it 100, 1,000. Listen, I want to amp it up a little bit. Let's keep it 1,000. Forget 100. Let everybody else say that. We here. Let's go. Let's go on and push the envelope. Let's keep it 1,000 tonight. Because I don't know about you. The life I was living, I looked like I was happy. I act like I was happy, but at the end of the day, when everybody's gone, the Hennessy don't wore off, okay, and you got 600-700 short, and you got to deal with the man in the mirror. You done cheated on somebody, you go home early Saturday morning, coming in the house, thinking like it's all good, and you know it ain't all good, because sex ain't going to keep her. I'm going to say that again. Sex won't keep her. I don't care how good you think you are, it ain't going to keep her, brothers. How do we transcend from where we at? Tonight, we're going to keep it 1,000, like I said. Ask yourself, just be real. Let's do a self-audit on ourselves. Pull all that stuff out. Pull that stuff out from last year, last month, last week, last night for some of y'all. Pull that stuff out. Look at your track record now. Because, see, when you get audit and you own a business, they look at all your transactions, everything you done. Now, look at everything you done for the last 5 years. Can you afford to live 5 more years like you just lived the last 5? Can you? Let's add up all the hurt relationships. How do we go from having the body of a man, but the mind of a boy, the attitude of a teenager, and the conversation like we're a CEO, all mixed up, all those combinations, all mixed up. The truth in the matter is, brothers, most of us have not been fathered. Most of us have not been told or talked to or mentored or loved. A lot of us, brothers, grew up without a hug from mama, affirmation from our father or from our daddy. Most of us seen our fathers or our dads live a reckless lifestyle, and some of us didn't even know it. And we seen mom go to work day in and day out. So mom really couldn't give us that hug. So we grew up with an attachment disorder, meaning we become self-sustaining, self-promoting. In other words, we become very selfish. And then we get in relationship with this brokenness. We get involved in relationship with that brokenness, and guess what? We end up hurting somebody else. We end up ruining families, ruining kids. And not that you meant to do it maliciously, but all we can do is what we know. And then the woman is with you, she looked like she got a man, but she found out she got a boy that's never been fathered. Tonight, we want to end that. Let's deal with it and become better. Because I believe if your ears are hearing the words, God has a plan for your life. That you made an array, a plethora, a whole bunch of mistakes. But you're tired on the inside. And we want to deal with the king in you. We can't be productive men if we don't know who we are. Because we're trying to do and be what everybody else think and feel we should be. And I believe tonight, it's only one way man can be set free. It's only one way. It ain't 12 steps. It ain't through calling 1-800-SACK-HOTLINE. It's only through Jesus Christ can man be saved. Well, saved from what? Listen, I don't know about you, but I can tell you about me. I was in a world, if God hadn't snatched me out, you would not hear my voice tonight. I was living a reckless lifestyle. Didn't know it. Or kind of thought it, but it ain't too bad. That was my thought. That was my thought, people of God, brothers. That was my thought. But tonight, we want to really tap into and give us a call tonight. Again, this is the very first show, and I just hope that those of you that are listening, that there'll be an impartation that will begin to change your life and just make you think. I think we got a call on the air. Hello, caller, you on the air? Hello? Hello, call you on the air. Okay, I think you can't hear the caller at this particular time. But again, tonight we want to really tackle and get into what thus says the Lord, what God is saying to us as men. But give us a call, and we're gonna figure this thing out. Give us a call, 818-691-7406. Again, 818-691-7406. My name is Steve Johnson, and we just want to deal with the issue that plague men and how we can go from ordinary to extraordinary brothers in the things of God. And as I was alluding to say just before the caller, that I believe that it's going to take men being saved through Jesus Christ to even begin to tap into who God has called them to be. It's going to really take men being delivered and saved by God, by Jesus himself, accepting him, and then we can find out how to go forward as to what God has called us to do. What has God called us to do? But see, you can't take an assignment and you don't know who you are. You don't know your position. That's just like sending a guy, getting a guy a football uniform and telling him to run on the field and go out there and play. And he ain't got no position. Come on. Now that's what happened. Hear this. Thank you, God. Hear this. We've been given the suit, a uniform called man. We've been given a uniform called man. Now, in this uniform, with this uniform come two positions, king and father. We don't know how to play these positions because we don't know nothing about them. Oh, come on, somebody need to get this. We've been given a uniform. And that uniform got two positions in it, man and father, father and king. So really, three roles we got to play. And we've been sent out in the field with this life, sent out in the field to play in a position we have no clue, have no direction, and have no guidance. And we're making a mess of it because we just don't know. Tonight we want to know, how can we come out of this brokenness? How can we come out of this hurt? How can we come out of this pain? Men, how? How can we? How can we be delivered? Look how many times you have tried to come out of that relationship because you know it wasn't right. Look how many times you tried to stop drinking. Or look how many times you have tried to stop smoking. Or look how many times you have tried to stop cussing. I look how many times you have tried to stop lying, stop fornicating, stop committing adultery. Look how many times you done tried to come out and you couldn't do it. Or how many times you come out, you do all right for a month or two or 90 days, and as soon as you see TJ, BJ, or DJ, he said, man, I got you. We done heard that before. Man, I got you. And you first say, man, brother, I'm trying to do the right thing. Yes, we all trying to do the right thing. But there's something in you that still come to, man, I got you. Really, what he's saying, listen, I don't care what you're trying to do. I'm working for somebody, and we're going to take you right back where you came from. And that's the work of the enemy, people, brothers. We can't do it ourselves. And what I'm trying to get you to the point, or get you to understand, brothers, that you can't come out by yourself. You can't. You cannot come out by yourselves. We need some help. I couldn't come out by myself. I could not come out by myself. But because of God, His grace, His mercy, the Lord brought me out. And God bringing me out, I learned how to become a father. I got daughters that I'm very proud of. But brothers, I was just like many of you. I thought I had all the answers. I'm Mr. Man. It's all under control. I got it on lock. I'm good. But really, I wasn't. Really, I wasn't. Tonight, I know you ain't good. You know you ain't good. And I mean it, when I say good, meaning everything ain't all right with you right now. You made some mistakes in your life, and you don't feel good about it. You want it to promote, you want change, but really just don't know how to get it, don't know how to go about doing it. How can we be a mentor and we don't know how to walk it out right? How can we be a mentor and we ain't sure about which way we headed? How can we be entrepreneurs and lead it and run business and we're not sure? Give me a call tonight at 818-691-7406. There are some things I know, men, that we deal with that we just have to deal with it. We have to deal with it. And once we deal with it, then we just go on. Once we deal with it and get past the hurt, get past the pain, get past the problems, then we need to go. We can go ahead and walk into our destiny, walk into what God has called us to be. Well, how do we do that? The first question I want to pose to the listening audience and those of you maybe falling by internet. Do men need to be saved? And then what is that? What do that mean tonight? What does that mean to you tonight? Saved from what? Saved to do what? Do men need to be saved? Can a man be productive without salvation? But what do we call productive? Because there's plenty of men with money. Plenty of CEOs, plenty of movie stars, football players, basketball, but are they productive for God's kingdom? Not saying if you got money, you can't do nothing for God, but what I am saying, you can have all the money in the world. All the money in the world. If I was to what profit a man to have all the riches in the world and forfeit his soul? What gain is it? I'm the richest man on earth, but I'm going to hell. I got all the stocks on earth, but I done forfeited my soul for the riches of this world. You do the math on that one. Because, listen, the Bible said it's appointed to men once to die. After death, then judgment. You only going to die one time. And whenever you die, your flesh will go back to the ground, to the earth, but your soul will live somewhere forever. Your soul will live somewhere forever. Tonight, men, I pose one question. Do men, can we afford to live 5 more years just like the last 5 years that we've lived in our lives? Another question, do men need salvation? Another question. How do we come out of this mess? How we come out? And then I made a statement that we done tried over and over and over again as men. We done tried it. And we find ourselves falling short. And the Bible tells you, all have fallen short and come short. All have fallen short and come short of the glory of God. But after I realized that I can't do it, then what? Okay, we can't do it. Give me a call, brother. 818-691-7406. We can't do it. Well, how can we? We was born, the Bible says, born into sin. Born into sin and shaping in iniquity. Salvation, what is it? What is it for? Look at the relationships that we done had in time past. And just within this first hour, I really want to just dig into the stuff that we done got so engrossed in and so buried by in life. Meaning we didn't know how to keep up with our credit. We didn't know the importance of credit. We didn't know the importance of balancing a checkbook. Some of us, a lot of us, one or two of us, you know your status better than me. We walk around with money clips, a rubber band. Y'all know about the rubber band. The rubber band, man, y'all know about the rubber band. Then you know what I'm talking about. That was a way of life. A wallet, ID, who keeps that? Hello? And in another part of the country, that's normal. Listen, as men, certain things you just, listen, if your daddy didn't know, and if you didn't have your daddy didn't teach you, or men, some of us had some awesome, awesome, awesome mothers. Meaning, even though the father wasn't there, she still held it down to the point she gonna give you exactly what you need. Some of us didn't have mothers to really look out like that. And all I'm saying, whatever state you find yourself in today, it's some stuff we didn't know. Because a lot of times, we become the product of our environment. Whatever we was exposed to, raised up around, and the mentality of the people that was responsible for us, that's kind of how we came up. If you came up in a reckless household, more than likely, status say, you're going to be reckless too. You come around Auntie Neil, I'm going to say Auntie Neil, ironically, If you come up around them, guess what? And all they do is cussing, fussing, you know, want to call the police, guess what? That's the mindset that you have. How do we come out of that hurt and pain? You come out of a relationship with a woman, she want to fight, scratch. Listen, man, it's a lot been thrown on us, a lot we've been thrown into. And a lot, we walk right into it, eyes wide shut. Eyes wide shut. Get that. But tonight, we want to take all our hurt, all our pain, all our lies, all our hidden sin, all our hidden relationships, all our fake applications, all our stuff that we know deep in the crevices of our heart, it ain't right. All we want tonight is, I want to be better tomorrow. I want to make better decisions, God. I want to be a better man. I want to treat people better. I want to love better. I want to give better. I want to help folks better. I want to talk to people better. I just want to be better, God. I want to be a better man, a better father, a better king, a better person, a better mentor, a better business owner. God, I just want to be better tonight. If that's your story, if that's your truth, tonight, brother, let's confront the enemy on his own territory. No longer you gonna hold me hostage to this imposter that's been impostering on my life most of my life. That made me miss my daughters grow up. That made me miss my sons grow up. Made me miss my mother anniversary. Made me miss my wife's birthday. The devil is alive. Tonight we're coming out. Tonight we declare we are men. Tonight we declare we are kings in God's eyesight. No longer will we be held down like a little boy. No longer will we be beat down on you telling me what I am not when God said something totally different. Tonight, we want the king in us to stand up. Tonight, no more excuses. No more pity parties. The Bible says, come unto me, all ye who are heavily laden and heavily burdened, and learn of me. That means God got to teach us something, brother, and take up my yoke, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God is calling us to a whole nother realm in living in him, God, brother. Listen, come unto me is what he's saying. In other words, it's a clarion call. No matter where you at, no matter who you are, no matter how long you've been there, no matter what you were doing while you was there, he said, come unto me if you're heavily laden. Meaning if you got some stuff dumped on you, you're tired of going through, you're tired of being beat down, you're tired of failing, you're tired of falling short. You want to just do better as a man. I know the pain. Lived in the pain. Lied in the pain. Drunk in the pain, rolled in the pain, on chrome. And I'm saying that to say, I'm speaking in some parables here, and I'm saying that to say, listen, while I'm in pain, still riding around on 22s, 24s, nice car, nice clothes, money in the pocket, thinking I'm nice. Really, I was on my way to hell. It couldn't help nobody. And it looked like I'm helping everybody. On my way to hell, call myself man. Call myself, I'm the man. Really? Who told you that one? And everybody else around you helped you believe your own lie. Oh, man, listen, listen. Men, listen, brother. Listen, brother. Listen. I know there's a place that we have to wear the shell, that we got it all together. We have to have on this facade, like we've achieved and we've arrived. And so what we do, we hide behind the cars. We hide behind the name brand clothes. We hide behind the job. We hide behind the degree. We hide behind the nice haircut. We hide behind the gold chain. We hide behind everything else that keep us from being seen, that we're scared, that we're afraid, that we're hurt, we're broken, we ain't falling, we don't know. We don't know how to get there. And so we find ourselves living this lie. Living this lie. Tonight, if you're tired of that, tonight, if you have enough, is enough. Tonight, you want to come out. You know you need to come out. Your daughters need you to come out. Your sons need you to come out. Your wife needs you to come out. Your cousin needs you to come out. Your nephew looks up to you, need you to come out. God said, come unto me. How do we get there? How do we get there? How do we get there? How? How do we get there? How do you talk to God? How do you get God to understand? What do I say to this God that's so big and I'm so small and I'm so little? How can I talk to this God? How would he hear me out of all the stuff I've done? Out of all the mistakes I made? Remember the Bible says, come unto me. Come unto me. Stop going on the people. Stop going on the people, places, and things. God said, come unto me. are heavily laden. I know you're heavy. And you know what? That drink of Hennessy, it ain't gonna fix it. It'll numb it for a few hours. And when it starts to wear out, it's like the problem got twice as heavy. Twice as heavy. We need salvation. Salvation goes into deliverance. The word salvation is actually a Greek word. And brother, I don't want to talk church. I want to talk relationship. See, what has happened is we've been in improper, incorrect relationships, and they failed, and we blame them, and we walk around with brokenness that we don't know how to fix. The worst thing, listen, the worst thing in the world for a man, if you don't know how to fix something, listen, put it this way, when, even if you're this woman, y'all driving, your wife, whoever you with, when a man driving, if he don't know the direction, the woman can be telling him the direction, he's still, and it's funny to me because I've been there, done that, he's still going to try to figure out how to go this certain route, even though she's sitting right there telling him. She's telling him, listen, you got to go down to the left, blah, blah, blah. But, man, listen, some amount of man nature, I got it. I'm going to figure it out. Listen, some break around the house, a man don't really know how to do it. Listen, before you listen to any words, that's what you got to say. If I got to read the owner's manual, call Home Depot, listen, call Ask Dave, somebody, Clark, I don't know, so anybody, how I fix this. And I'm saying that to say, and I'm saying that, and I say that part comically, but this is a very, it's a serious matter. There's a serious tone to it here. I'm meaning that it frustrates us as men that some of our children we haven't spoken to in years, and we'll not pick up the phone and say I'm sorry. Listen. It hurts us as men that the broken relationship, the first year was okay and, you know, well, I'll fix it. And then the third year, I'll fix it. It's 6 years and it ain't fixed. And the truth of the matter is we don't know how to fix it. We don't know how to pick up the phone and call. Because there's no humility, because we're supposed to be the man. We got on this uniform. We've been thrown into this game. And we don't really know how to play these positions, so we just really running. And we keep bumping our head and stuffing our toe and skinning our knee and falling off the bicycle. So we've been given this uniform, say, put on this uniform, go out there and run, get a touchdown, and we'll not play the position of the man. We'll not play the position of the father. We'll not play the position of the king. We out here in this thing called life, and we shipwrecked and we broken with it. So Jesus said, come unto me, all ye heavily laden. And so what we do at the end of our days, some of us, and I don't know just if it's you, you know that's you, that some of us, we go, we try and have a drink to take the edge off, but the drink can't take the edge off. Because the edge that you're trying to take off is on the inside. Hello? What you're trying to fix is on the inside. It's an inside job. And so to kind of drown our failures somewhat, we try and, you know, throw the tequila or the Hennessy. We gonna try and drown the truth, but really it ain't. They make it just wash right on up to the surface, actually. So tonight, the answer, and how do we go from brokenness to the king in you? How do that king in you come out? How do that king in you be heard? How do that king in you find his way? How? How we get there? Salvation. Salvation, again, I was saying it was a Greek word. Salvation means to be rescued, delivered, salvaged. That's what we need. Somebody needs to save us from our stuff. Save us from ourselves. Somebody. Who's that somebody? Our risen King, our risen Savior. He died so you and I, that when we get tired of sitting in that club, that strip club, that bar, when we get tired of sitting outside the weed man house, hello, when we get tired of smoking the blunt, listening to that Lil Wayne, Jay-Z, whoever, whatever, when you get tired, Jesus says, I'm going to deliver you out of that. I'm going to bring you out, because, see, you can't bring yourself out. You know, we're talking about being broken, something is broken, man can't fix it. He'll do everything else, but somebody can tell him. Runs right down the street, right around the corner, two blocks to the left, about 3 miles. Oh, really? Now, you done went all the way around Earth, burnt up a half a tank of gas, and it was right around there, but you can listen, because you the man. You know. You got it. You fixing it. I'm the man. I can't let you know. I don't know. So I show. I'm not going to tell you. I don't know how to be a father. I don't know how to be a man. I don't know how to be a king. I don't know how to treat a woman. I don't know how to talk to a woman. I don't know. I can't tell you. I don't know, because I don't know. So I'm going to keep acting like I know, making a mess, because I can't tell you. I don't know, because I'm a man. So the devil keeps telling you in your head that you're the man and you're supposed to know and you don't know. So now you stuck. And you stagnant and you're struggling with it. Broken. So somebody got to save you from you. It reminded me of the Flintstones. How Fred always, Zeus always seemed to find Fred some kind of way. See, we have that little Zeus too, but you can't see him. It's called that other voice, and that's what we got to get away from. See, like every time Fred Flintstone come up to get ready to do the right thing, it's coming to be dealing with Fred. It just blows my mind how Fred getting ready to do something, and Zeus shows up on his shoulder. Hello, dum-dum. You've done it again. And Fred actually listen at him. And listen, with some of us like Fred Flintstone. Come on now. I'm talking to somebody. You know it's true that we sit and we kind of know the right thing to do, but heck of this heck of Zeus. His real name is Devil. His real name, Lucifer. Old folks call him Slewfoot. He sits right there and tells us all the wrong stuff to do. All the wrong stuff to do. Tonight, I know you want to come out of where you've been, brothers. I know this. I know this. Tonight you can. The only way out is that we have to be rescued. We can't save ourselves. We got to throw our hands up and just say, "Look, we can't save ourselves. We can't do it. We can't bring ourselves out." On your best day, the Bible says that our righteousness is like filthy rags unto God. Meaning on our best day, walking on our best day still ain't good enough. Meaning without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. What is sin? Sin is all unrighteousness against God. And that's where we kind of get stuck in this role of being a man, and we don't really know how to be a man. And yet, we don't want to go to the man who created us. How can you know how to use all your tools if you ain't got the owner's manual? You have nothing to read, a manuscript, how to get the most. Listen, I'll equate it to this. How to get the most out of your car? Most of you that have a car, there's the owner's manual on the inside. Matter of fact, it's just like putting together a flat screen TV trying to hang it on the wall. Hello? You know, if you want to hang it, the flat screen on the wall, the owner's manual, how to read it, how to do it. A lot of us just, listen, I know how to do this. Then I'm going to bolt to schools and put them in the wall. Now, you need to make sure you actually hooking it on some studs, then you need to make sure you got the proper equipment. Like, boat A looks just like boat B, but it's something different about them two boats. I'm saying that to say this. God created us. The owner's manual is the Bible. In order to get the most and be proficient in your life, in your walk, in your manhood, it's by reading what God has already shared and what God has already spoken about who? You. See, people can't tell you who you are. They're trying to define who you are. And what happens is if you don't know who you are, what they say will get in your head. Oh, you're going to be just like your daddy, just like cousin them, just like your uncle, or you'll be just like so-and-so. You're going to end up dead. You're going to end up doing nothing. You're going to end up in jail. You're going to end up, and guess what? We end up being just what they said. Because guess what? While we were drinking the Hennessy, while we were smoking the weed, while we were hanging out, you're going to be just like, it got in our mind, it got in our heart. So we find ourselves living in a broken life with a broken mindset, with a broken conversation. Hello? And we can't find out how to transcend from being stuck, stagnant, and struggling to being productive and not just ordinary, but being extraordinary men. And we find ourselves stuck in that position. How do we come out? How do we get, how do we break free? It's through salvation. Well, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in the church. If you don't, you're done. and not even being cute with that. You're done already. If you don't believe in Jesus, that he came because God sent him. But if you do believe, then salvation is offered to bring you out. Salvation is to deliver you from you. Salvation, again, I was saying it's a Greek word which goes into soteria. Soteria means to be rescued, salvaged, saved, delivered from perilous times of trouble. That's what God said. Listen, we have to be saved from our stuff, from the way we think, from the way we act. Look how many heated arguments you have been in the last 15 days. Look how many times you almost came to blows in the last 15 days. Something wrong with that picture. That anger, you can't just get rid of that. Now, they got programs to help you manage it, but see, that ain't really dealing with it because that sits there. But to be delivered from that, to be savaged from that, rescued from that, because the anger can't just sit in you because you can manage being angry. Oh, count to 10. And that may work for you. I ain't saying don't stop the process if that's working for you. Ultimately, you need to be snatched, saved, delivered from that spirit of anger. It only comes through salvation. It only comes through salvation. I want us to really, really look at where we are tonight. Really focus on where we are tonight. Give me a call tonight, 818-691-7406. 818-691-7406. My name is Steve Johnson. We're live in the studio. And we're dealing with how can we go from being where we are as a man, being stuck, being stagnant, and struggling, to becoming the king that God has called us to be. And I'm a firm believer that there is a God. I'm a firm believer that he had a son. I'm a firm believer that his son died for my stuff, your stuff, our sins, our bad decisions, our bad relationship. God, his son Jesus, came and died bled, and rose, hung on a cross, and rose on the third day for you and I. For you and I. That's the gospel right there. If you believe. If you don't, the Bible says no man can come to God except he believes he is God. Tonight, give us a call, 818-691-7406. We're going to get ready. Get if you have a pencil, pen and paper, a journal, note, we're going to kind of walk through some things here now. When it deals with salvation, I believe the only way man can come out is through salvation. It's no other way. It's no other way a man can come out of the stuff that he's in other than through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other name that man can be saved. Now we have to believe that. Meaning you don't have to, but what I am saying, if you do believe that, that's your saving grace. Some of you may not believe it, but at the end of the day, it's about Jesus Christ dying for your sin. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, people of God. Give me a call on tonight, 818-691-7406. I'm your host, Steve Johnson. Our first show is airing tonight, The King in You. I'm simply excited. I'm simply just in love that God would allow and God has given the opportunity to just be able to just share with men. And again, grab yourself a journal or a piece of paper. We're going to walk through some scriptures. We're going to walk through the process of salvation. We're going to walk through on what God is calling us to, what God has called us to do, and how do we get there. Yeah, we made some mistakes. We confess that. We've been in bad relationships at some time, and you may be in a bad relationship now. We confess that. But you may be saying, Brother Steve, brother, how I come out of where I'm at? How can I be a better man? How can I make better decisions? How can I be a better father? How can I be a better influence on the people that surrounded with me, that surrounded me? How can I be better? There's only one way to begin to walk on the right track. Sometimes we just got to get refocused, redirected, reconnected, restored, and revitalized to do what God has called us to do. Well, how do we do that? First, we got to admit God, we're stuck. We can't come out. We're stuck. We don't know how to go forward from where we're at. God, we're stuck. How do we do it? How do we do it, Lord? How can I do it? Well, the only way out is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other way. So in that, God, I need you tonight. So grab a journal, pen, paper, and we're going to walk through this process. Dealing with salvation. We're going to walk right through the process dealing with salvation. And if you want prayer tonight, brothers, if you just want to call in and have a comment you want to share, again, the phone lines are open. They are open. Give us a call at 818-691-7406. This is our first show live with The King in You. And we welcome your call. We welcome your comment. And just let us know. Do more prayer. Definitely contact us here at 818-691-7406. Again, that's 818-691-7406. We just going with The King in You and how God can make the difference. And we want to be better because we believe that our life has purpose and God has a plan. And we want to make the Lord our priority. We definitely want to make God our priority. Salvation, as I was saying, we can begin to take a few notes here. Salvation is a Greek word which means soteria. And to study up that salvation, that's what it's going to take for men to come out. We need to be saved from the stuff that we're in. We need to be saved from the stuff that we're in. How do we do that? One thing I want you to just jot down real quick, if you will. Make a note. How wrong relationships has affected your relationship with God. Think about the relationship you're in right now, brothers. How has it enhanced or hindered your relationship with God? If it's hindered your relationship with God, there's an adjustment that has to be made. If it enhanced it and brought you to another place, and there's another place you know you really need to be in God, begin to line that relationship up with the Word of God. Because in order to be all that God has called us to be, in order to be that king that God sees in you, we have to line ourselves up properly with God. Well, what are you saying? Well, let's look at Scripture. Let's look at Scripture here. Let's go to, I want to say, let's go to Isaiah 59, verse 2. Now, we're dealing with salvation. Why does salvation come? Go with me, if you will, Isaiah 59 and 2. We're going to tie this in real quick. Salvation, Greek word, soteria, S-O-T-E-R-I-A, soteria. And the study of that word would be soteriology. Anytime you see ology with a word, it's the study of that word. So let's just break it down like this. The study of salvation. We're going to look at why men need what? Salvation. Men are just saying, oh, you need to be saved, and that's it. No, listen. Break it down to me. Let me see it. Let me be able to touch it. Make it tangible. Make it so I can understand it. And I don't have no problem with it. Men, we like structure. We like order. So as God was sharing with me how to share what I'm sharing with you in this piece here, we need salvation. Remember, the first hour, we kind of dealt with all the mess, the stuff, the things that's got us jacked up. And remember, we still got this uniform, and we've been thrown in this game, and we don't know how to play these positions. Hello? Man, I'm talking to somebody that you know, listen, you've been gated, somebody gave you a uniform, they go out there and run like a man. Go out there and talk like a father. Go out there and act like a king. And you're like, huh? What? Okay, we want to deal with that what tonight. So salvation is getting rescued, delivered, savaged, and set free. Only through Jesus Christ. Why? Because through one man sin entered the world and messed up everybody. So only through one man can sin be forgiven. Through one man only can sin be rectified, made in right standing with God. Not the sin itself, but the sinner. Not sin itself, but the sinner. Only one thing can wash away your sin. None but the blood. None but the blood. Let's get into the salvation here. I think I asked you to turn to Isaiah 59, verse 2. But I want to deal with three tenses. And three tenses meaning salvation, the word salvation itself always has three tenses to it. Why? Because it speaks to the past, it speaks to the present, and it speaks to the future. So salvation comes for sin. It comes to deal with sin. Salvation comes to remove sin. Remove you from sin. Save you from sin. Save you from sinning. Salvation comes. Hear this? Remember, we said earlier, to deliver you, to rescue, to salvage you from where you at. Where you at? Stuck. Where you at? Stagnant. Where you at? Struggling. Why? Because you stuck. Why? Because you're struggling. Why? Because you're stagnant. Why? Because you were born in the sin. Hello? And shaped in iniquity. Why? Because Adam what? Sin. How did he sin? Against God. When? In the garden. In Genesis. Why? Why? He didn't obey. Why? This is where we at tonight. Why are we still in the situation where we at, unhappy, miserable, depressed, alcoholic, verbal abuser, broken? Why are we still there? Tonight we want to come out. Tonight we want to be set free. Only thing can get you there, the vehicle for that is salvation. It's salvation. Salvation, the three tense that comes with it, is the past events, present events, and future hope. Now, salvation come for, because we got a penalty of sin on us, the power of sin that's against us, and the presence of sin that's forever around us. Isaiah 59, verse 2. Isaiah 59 and verse 2. And as I turn there with you, Isaiah 59, verse 2, it speaks to how we as people have to really depend on God. How can we depend on God? Through his son, Jesus Christ. We have to develop a relationship. And again, the question I asked at one point was, the relationship you're in now, how do it affect your relationship with God? How do it? And only you know that. I don't have the answer to that. But I asked you, did it enhance it? Or did it hinder it, your relationship with God? Isaiah 59, verse 2. It will read as follows. I hope somebody is getting something out of tonight. It's truly a blessing to be able to share what says the Lord and how God can help bring us out of anything that we're in. Isaiah 59 and 2. It says, but your iniquities, remember I said it back in the beginning, we was born in the sin, shaping in iniquities. Iniquities is hidden sin. Iniquities is hidden sin. So it says, but your iniquities have separated you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear, for your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity, your lips have spoken lies, your tongue has muttered perversity. Think about all that stuff. This is the stuff that separates us from God. Let's back it up. Your tongue has muttered perversity, meaning spirit of perversion. Perversity, meaning spirit of perversion. What is that? Men sleeping with little girls, little boys, molestation. Men sleeping with men, spirit of perversion. You don't have no parameters or guidelines. Brother, these are the things that hinder us from being a king in God. And hold that thought on salvation. We're coming back to that. What I'm showing you now here is the presence of sin that's in our lives that keeps us from God, that keeps us stuck, that keeps us stagnant, that keeps us struggling. Because of this, the Bible saying it, I ain't saying it, it separates us from God. So now we're alienated from God based upon our behavior. The guy on the block didn't do it. Your cousin didn't do it. We're separated now from God based upon our behavior. Hold that, hold that. That's the presence of sin. Now, let's go to Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Now, that's the presence of sin, Isaiah 59 and 2. And he'll be giving you a little bit more. Matter of fact, let's go to 1 Timothy. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. I like to have two scriptures, and meaning hermeneutically, I want to tie in what the message is saying, that it ain't just Isaiah saying in the Old Testament, but my boy Timothy, if you don't understand it like that, but Timothy comes along and said also, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. Amen. The word is good, is right, and is tight. So God is going to do what you allow him to do with your heart. Today, the Bible says, the word of God says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. So just saying this and paraphrasing like this, sometimes we get mad all about the wrong thing. Well, there's certain things you ought to just get glad about. And not no Knicks basketball game, not if the Heat is playing. Now, I ain't knocking the basketball game. Thank God for LeBron James and whoever else you might be rooting for. But what I am saying, don't knock my man Jesus. Don't knock the Word. Don't knock Paul, Timothy, John, David. I mean, shit them on too, because guess what? Had they not wrote this, had they not been about this, had they not been focused on this, man, you won't be able to get this today, how we getting it like it's coming. Amen? So we can thank God for the word on today. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. It says, those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all that the rest also may fear. I charge you, but before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that you observe these things without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality, meaning having favorite, having cliques. You know, sometimes like in the church, I don't know which church, maybe your church or somebody's church you know about, they got cliques. The only way you sit on a certain row, you got to be in the clique. The word is saying without any partiality, we ain't playing. It's no big eyes and little U's in God. Either you with him or you against him. Come on. You can have on an I love Jesus t-shirt. That don't mean you right. Your company can be big as quarters. That don't mean you right. So what I'm saying, brother, we want to walk as kings, and walking as a king, meaning I'm going to walk in integrity. I'm going to walk in character. I'm going to walk in dignity. I'm going to walk in honorism. I'm going to walk right. I'm going to walk with truth. Bottom line, as a king, I ain't going to be with my woman looking at another woman. That ain't integrity. I ain't going to be texting another woman while I'm with a woman. That ain't integrity. Anybody can do that. Everybody already doing it. What about you, man of God? In order to be a king, you set a standard. You set a tone. You set a pace that we ain't playing. Man, we ain't playing father. We ain't playing husband. We ain't playing king. Either you're going to walk it for real or don't walk it at all. Anyway, I get excited, brother, about this thing called truth. Because back in the days, you know, it used to be cool that you got 2-3 women. What? They're not, when you have a change of heart, why is it cool if you don't play with somebody's emotions? Somebody's daughter, somebody's auntie, somebody's mama. Why is that cool? That ain't cool. That's jacked up. Jacked up meaning absolutely not good. But what I am saying, brothers, is that when you know better, God help us to do better. Just when you know better. If I know if I go around that curve in an SUV doing about 60, it's going to flip over. Guess what? We ain't finna go around that curve at 60 miles an hour. Because why? I don't want it to flip over. Why? Not because I care so much about the vehicle, but I don't want to get hurt. Think about it the same way. If you don't want that woman cheating on you, don't cheat on her. If you don't want that woman disrespecting you, don't disrespect her. You want that woman to operate with integrity? You operate with integrity. You want that woman to follow you? Act like you know where you're going. And then, listen, follow somebody who know they're going. Who? Jesus. Hello? First Timothy. It's speaking to him. That. He said, I charge you without partiality. Without prejudice, doing nothing with partiality. So now, we got two scriptures. First Timothy 5, verse 20, speaks about sin. And Isaiah 59, verse 2, that is attributed to the presence of sin, the separation from God. So now we know the stuff we be doing separate us. We see again in 1 Timothy, Paul was writing this letter to Timothy. Timothy was a young preacher, and, you know, he was young, and started, he was sort of a little timid. He was a little afraid. Even, you know, if you read the scripture, he told Timothy to drink a little wine to help settle your stomach. He said, go have a shot of tequila, chill, bro. He said, go drink a little wine to settle your stomach. So we want to take scripture out of continuity of scripture out of context. We want to be right. I ain't trying to find a way to sin. We ain't trying to find a way to do wrong. We ain't trying to find a way to beat scripture, because really you can't beat scripture, because if you try and get around scripture, you'll do what you end up doing is beat yourself out of eternity in a heavenly dwelling. So we want to be right. We want to be right. We want to be right. We don't want to live a lie no more. No, it ain't no Santa Claus. You know that. It ain't no Easter Bunny. You know that. Hello? What is Cupid? That's dealing with Greek God. But I'm saying all that to say, brothers, we were raised up on a whole bunch of lies. Even a tooth fairy. Oh, that's good for the little kids. No, what you're actually doing, you're imparting a spirit of lying and deception. And so when he get old enough to lie and deceive, oh, you shouldn't do that. But that you don't instill that in him since he was young. If we believe life and death is in the power of the tongue, words have power, which they do. Now we've not that. Now that's dealing with the presence of sin. Let's look at the power that sin has. Let's look at the power that sin has. We'll go to Romans chapter 6, people of God, just going to walk right through it and see what thus says the Lord through the word. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. I tell you, God is good. God is a gracious God. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. And we are there. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. It reads as follows, that for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey, rather of sin leading to death, rather of sin leading to death. I'm going to say that one more time. Rather of sin leading to death, meaning whoever you slave to. Hello? Whoever you slave to, if it's sin, you mean everything you do is dead. You know how that relationship like it's going to work out all right, but you don't even have nothing to do with God. You're in the strip club with this relationship. Look like it's going to work out all right. All that stuff leading up to death while you got to wives at the house. and your little baby girl waiting for you to come home, and you say you're working late, but you work late, you had to trip. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody. You understand what I'm saying? All this stuff leads to death. Death what? You don't literally physically die right then like dead. But the death is talking about death as a king, death as a father, death as a man. You disappoint your daughter. You disappoint your family. You disappoint your wife. Everything you do is dying because it is sin. Unproductive. Unproductive. But tonight, we coming out of this. We coming out. We refuse to stay bound. Refuse to stay down. Refuse to stay stuck. Stagnant and struggling. Absolutely refuse to. Now, that's the power of sin. Now, let's look at, matter of fact, we can stay right where we at. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Amen. We got to go nowhere. Now, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ask yourself, do you need salvation? Do you need it? We look at salvation come for to rescue us from what? That's the things we read. Salvation come to bring you out of Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that's the penalty of sin. Salvation comes to bring you out of the power of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 14. Salvation comes to bring you out of the presence of sin. Isaiah 59, verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. Do you need salvation? Because, see, salvation comes for those things, to bring you out of those things, the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin. Well, the tenses I was speaking of earlier when I kind of opened it up, there are three tenses that goes with this salvation. Three. The past, the present, and the future. The past, the present, in the future. Your past stuff, the stuff you're doing right now, and the stuff you should be doing in the future. Brothers, I can't speak for nobody else, but I can speak for myself. I wasn't raised up in no church and no Bible and no Jesus. I lived a life that I was comfortable with her, so I thought, for many years. Mother was a workaholic, father was an alcoholic, and I kind of just raised myself in a sense. But I'm saying that to say this. Done a lot of things in my life, been a lot of places, made tons of money, seen a lot of people. My life was unfulfilled. Had children out of wedlock, didn't know any better. That's not an excuse, that's just the truth. Didn't really know how to be a father because I was a father. Used to think being a man mean you run the street, make babies, spend money, buy a few pampers here and there. Didn't know nothing about fathering my child, my children, being there for first bicycle ride, first day of kindergarten, daddy-daughter dance. Those are powerful moments in a child's life, man. Those are powerful moments in a child's life, brothers. I didn't know how to be that father. I didn't know. I didn't know. I thought I was okay. I thought I was all right. I ain't know nothing about being a king. I'm a player. I didn't know, though. I didn't know. I didn't know about being a man. I'm a hustler. I didn't know. It wasn't until, hear what I'm saying here. Hear what I'm saying. It wasn't until I met this man named Jesus. No, I wasn't in no church. I didn't have no shirt or tie. None of that. Remember, I'm hustling. I'm moving. I'm getting it in. Y'all understand what I mean when I say getting it in? I'm doing my thing, so I think. I'm okay, so I think. I walked around with a 9mm. Kept that. Hear what I say. That was God. That was the judge. That was the Bible for me, my 9mm, period. And if it couldn't get it done, it just can't be done. But I lived that painful, depressing, downtrodden life for years. On my way to hell. Come on, I'm a man. I remember one night. I'm going to get too emotional here, but this. I remember one night. Back in my hometown. Me and about 10 of us. Few guys, mostly females, drinking, talking, just doing what we do. I remember one night, it's a true story, I heard a voice say, "You ain't no man." Huh? I think I'm just real high. This just some bad, this bad deal. You know, I run upstairs, and listen, I run upstairs, wash my face. I heard that same voice. I don't know nothing about no Jesus. I don't know nothing about no God. I ain't read no Bible. I just hear some talking to me, and I don't understand it. I left and drove till I couldn't drive no more. I couldn't drive no more. I can tell you how I end up. I end up at the end of this road I was on. I end up with my two daughters, homeless, in Atlanta, sleeping on the floor. And I looked at my children. I had lost everything I had. But my pride wouldn't let me go back and say nothing. Because I knew everybody. Everybody. But I had so much pride, you ain't going to know I'm hurt. Listen, I don't know what I got to do, but my pride even let me let you know nothing. I was on that floor, and I said, "God, if you will, make me the man you want me to be." I never knew I was repenting, because I don't know scripture, I don't know word, I don't know this stuff. All I know, I was hurting. All I know, I'm tired. All I know, I want to change. All I know, I wanted to do better. All I know, I wasn't really happy. I was tired of front, tired of lying, tired of living, tired of breathing. I just want something different in my life. I didn't know how to get it. Everybody around me, they didn't know how to get it. They were there. They thought I had the answers. Everybody came to me. I'm the one hanging out. I'm the one with the money. I'm the one partying. I'm the one with the cars. I'm the one with the clothes. I'm the one sitting there always be up. But I'm the one to up. And I cried out to this God. And I asked him, "God, if you're real, make me into the man you want me to be, and I'll never turn from the gospel." And when I said that prayer, brothers, there was a peace that engulfed, that gripped me, that I never felt in my entire life. From that moment, hear this, from that moment, I knew. No, I didn't have to read no book, no Bible. I didn't have to hear no preacher. I knew within my heart that there was a God. Oh, man, listen, I knew he was real. Listen, from that moment, I began to read because I wanted to know. And tonight, all I'm saying to you is that, listen, God real. Where you at right now, he can bring you, it don't matter where you at, he can bring you out. You just got to want to come out. Because God is real. The realest thing I ever known in my life. And from that day to this one, I ain't stopped searching for that God. I ain't stopped calling upon that God. I ain't stopped looking to that God. I ain't stopped loving that God. And for the rest of my life, I know I owe God. He taught me how to be a man. He taught me how to be a father. He taught me how to be an entrepreneur. I didn't know this stuff. He sat me around folks, doctors, lawyers. And I raised two of my daughters by the grace of God. And one today is in college. One, the second one on her way to college with a 4.0 grade average. We didn't know what a 4.0 was. But that's how God do. And my daughter's in college, got a scholarship. Scholarship in college right now. Me, my daughter. And she called me daddy. Because I was there. And I'm saying that to say this, brothers, we can't fix it. We can't bring ourselves out. We can't be a king on our own. The best in us can be revealed on our own. We need something greater than us, bigger than us, better than us, righteous than us, because we can't do it. And every time we try, we mess it up. We mess it up. I got t-shirts that say mess it up. I got five of them. Mess it up. Probably mess it up. But after I got on the side with Jesus, hey, you know what? Call me Mr. I owe God. Call me Mr. I owe God because I owe God everything. Oh God my life. Oh God worship. Oh God praise. Oh God obedience. Oh God everything. Because he done something for me that nobody else could have done. Nobody else would have done. He gave up his son so I could come out. Would you give up yours? Hear that. Hear this. That's how good he is. God gave his son so you, me, us, we can come out of this broken place that there's no victory there. There's no consolation. There's no peace. There's no solace when in that place where we're at. Thank you, God. There's nothing there. Let's move on a little further. You can give us a call tonight. And you may just want prayer. You may just want to share something that's in your heart. Give us a call, 818-691-7406. My name is Steve. I'm the host tonight for The King in You. And I just really, this is our first show, brothers. Just want to be able to reach to an audience of men that you're tired. I know what tired looks like, that you're struggling. I know what struggling looks like, stagnant. I know what stagnant looks like. Just to let you know, men, that listen, you ain't the only one going through. You ain't the only one being. Where you at? There's somebody else going through the same thing. Somebody else who has been through the same thing. And we all just want to come together and say, hey, we can admit that we fell short. We messed it up. We fell down. And now we come together and we're feeding off each other's strength, each other's positivity. And we want to come out together as brothers, as men, as kings, as fathers, and saying today we're making a declaration. Today we're making a statement. Today we're making a stand. Today we refuse to be beat down, held down, and held back any longer. Why? Because there's a king in us, and God's trying to bring him out. God is trying to bring him out in this walk in this world that we live in. Now, past events. Let us go to Romans 8, and then just kind of bring you up to speed. Those of you that's been keeping up in that you kind of writing in your journal, we're dealing with the salvation and the three tenses, T-N-T-N-D-S, tenses. The three tenses that goes with salvation. And I named them the past events, the present things that are going on, and future hope. Those are the three tenses that goes with salvation. Man, how did that look? Let's look at the past events. And, again, I hope somebody's being blessed. We're just sharing. When I say we, don't talk about me and the Holy Spirit. I know it may sound like somebody's in the studio with me, but I know the Holy Spirit here with me. With me, I'm good. Amen. But in Romans chapter 8, we want to deal with the past events. I want to show you the three tenses and how salvation comes. It comes to deal with your past stuff. Thank you. It comes to deal with your past events. It comes to deal with your present events. And it comes to deal with your future hope. Salvation is a beautiful thing. It just, listen, meaning when God saved you, he saved you from a lot of stuff. He saved you for a reason, and he saved you to put you going somewhere or to place you going somewhere. Isn't that beautiful that not only is he going to bring you out of that bondage, after he brings you out, he has a plan for your life. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Chapter 8, verse 24. Okay, it reads as follows. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. I'm trying to find my... Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Oh, there we go. As we get older, we do need the thing they call Bible. Excuse me there. I thought I had them closer to me than that. But Romans chapter 8, verse 24, it reads as follows. It says that, "For we were saved in this hope. For hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance." Well, what is that saying? We hope for what we do not see. You know how back in the days, for some of you that I'm going old school here for a second. Back in the days, we used to say, "Lord, if you listen," we didn't even know God then. We just knew some older folks always talking about this Lord, this Jesus, and so the first thing, you know, you get real drunk, you don't have too much to drink. The first thing, "Lord, if you let me come down, Lord, I ain't gonna never do it again." That's our hope. Because right now you feel like I'm finna die. Listen, I don't know what's going on, but all this trying to come up out of me. Feel like my esophagus trying to come out of me. And Lord, if you let me come down right now, God, Jesus, I'd never do it again. Some of us, I've been there. You ain't got to say amen. But listen, that's that hope that I'm going to be rescued. But let's go a little bit further. You know how let's say, where maybe in a relationship, say in your marriage, that, you know, money tight and seem like everything about to go way to the left. Like, "Lord, I don't know how, I can't even see it. I can't even see it. All I know, what I think I'm seeing, I don't like it." So there's another hope that I can't see it, but I got the hope that it's gonna. I got the hope it's gonna be okay. And then it goes on and it says this. And I love the way this reads. It says that "For we were saved in this hope, for hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Because if you see it, you ain't got a hope. You got a hope in that because you see it. You got it. It's in your hand." It's in your life. It's in your world. But if you don't see it, you don't see a way out. But you got hope. You coming out. Tonight, we talking about that hope, brother. That the stuff we know ain't right, and we want to make it right, but we can't see it being right yet. But all we know, you know, you lay on the bed and You can't cry in front of nobody. So that little tear roll down your eye on the bed. Everybody else sleep. You wide awake. So you thinking, Lord, how I'm going to put it together? how I'm going to put it together? How I'm going to make it happen? How? And there's a greater fear because it ain't just you're concerned about, but you got a whole family depending on you to have an answer. You got a whole family depending on you when they touch the light switch. The light need to come on, bruh. Hello? And then all that pressure, it's stuff at work and all this stuff you got going on. But there's a ray of hope that, man, I know I ain't living right. I know my life all jacked up. And listen, you ain't even said it out your mouth. You're saying in your conscience, Lord, just help me. Help me, God. Like the children of Israel, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Help me. Just God, help me not to go back over to her house again. And I'm taking my family through this. Lord, help me. Lord, help me be able to go to my daughter's school or my son's school tomorrow, God, and just be the father they need, God. Help me. Help me, God. Help me not go and call up Tracy and give her half my check and I know I got to pay the mortgage. God, help me. Lord, help me. That's that hope, brother. That's that hope. That's that hope. Romans chapter 8, verse 24. That's our hope. Now let's go to the future. Not the future, I'm sorry, to the present. To the present. This is all in salvation, the three tenses. The past events, things of that nature. Hoping in the middle of hope that you can't see. That you, I just hope God will be coming out someday, somehow, some way. Let's go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to get ready to wrap it up in about 10 more minutes. I'm going to try to finish this. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. See, can we, and we're dealing with the presence now. Remember, three tenses with salvation. I just did with dealt with the past events. Excuse me, past events in our lives. This is without the salvation, past events. Meaning things like we in these situations and we hoping against hope and, you know, it just all we got is hope. That's all we got is hoping someday we coming out of it. And that's Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Now we're going to 2 Timothy. Bear with me here a moment as I turn through my pages. And again, I just hope someone's being blessed here on the line. As God just allow us to impart some words of wisdom and encouragement, excuse me, that you're able to come out. Matter of fact, what I'm going to try and do, okay, 2 Timothy, I just found it here. We're going to close out this scripture. Here's one more, it's a future hope, and I'll deal with that on next Tuesday at the same time, 9 o'clock. So 2 Timothy, and we're dealing with the three tenses, again, to bring you up to speed. Three tenses of salvation, past events, which is Romans 8:24, hope against hope. Now we're dealing with the present, that once we receive this great salvation, where are we at, in other words? So in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, it reads as follows. Am I reading 2 Timothy? I'm sorry, excuse me, 1 second here. Okay. It says, if we endure, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny. Let me go up a little further. 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's go to verse 11. 11, I think it brings it on out for us here. This is a faithful saying. For if we die with him, come on, if we die with him, Now, that meaning if you die with it, meaning to you let go being the player, let go being hopeless, let go being stagnant, let go these crazy relationships, let go some stuff that you know that has hindered you from being all that you're supposed to be in God, all that you're supposed to be in your family, all you're supposed to be as an entrepreneur, all you're supposed to be as a mentor, all that you're supposed to be as a king. That you died to all that stuff that hindered you from doing all the things God has called you to. Now, this is what it says. If we die with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. This is the present state that you should be in. That you died to all that stuff. Let's say you let most of it go, and you steady letting it go. That's what I'm saying. That's what I want to say. That you ain't continue to practice to be in sin, doing the stuff you was doing. Kings, talking to the kings. That in this, that you're steady letting some stuff go, and you're enduring, and we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. That is the present state that we should be in once we accept Jesus Christ. I'm going to close it out right here. And we have one more I want to deal with on that salvation, which is called the future hope, which that'll be the third tense. So join me again next week, next Tuesday at 9:00, and we're going to finish that. That's going to be some good stuff also. But another scripture to go with the present, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, Revelations 2 and 10, Matthew 10, 22, Matthew 24 and 13. That's all dealing with the present. Again, remember the past events, Romans 8, 24. Also go back to the penalty for sin, Romans 6, 23. The power of sin, Romans 6, verse 14. The presence of sin, Isaiah 59 and 2, 1 Timothy 5 and 20. A couple of questions I asked tonight was, do men need salvation? Yes, we do. What is salvation? What is the purpose of salvation? So the whole lesson tonight where we kind of dived into the first hour, we kind of dealt with all of our issues, what we're going through, what we've been through, where we're at. How we come out? Do we need salvation? It kind of broke it down to the fact that, listen, we need it. It ain't a question about it. We just need to come out of it. So in that, there's a lot that's been given on tonight, and I pray that you able to let somebody listen in or go back and replay it. I believe it's being recorded. Again, this is the first program, the first live program of the King in You. And hoping that it's really done something for you in your life at this moment, at this time. But we're going to deal with the future hope of the three tenses of salvation come on next week, next Tuesday. But I want to say this, man. I want to say this, that we cannot – remember, I told you we had this uniform, this suit, and – all these positions we need to be playing, and we've been thrown in this game with this uniform on, called uniform called man, uniform called father, uniform called king, and we've been thrown out here in this vast world to fulfill these positions, and we don't really have a clue. That don't make you a bad person. That don't make you game over. That don't make you less than a man. It just means that we ain't informed. We ain't educated in that area about those particular things, not like we should be. And matter of fact, the word educate means, it's a Latin word. The word educate means to bring out. To bring out. It's already in you, King. It's already in you, Father. It's already in you, man. We just want to bring it to the surface. And then you can be productive in this thing called life, thing called kingdom, thing called world, thing called God's world. So tonight, if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we offer that. What do you mean? It's as simple as believing, confessing, omitting, and presenting. So if that's what you're doing, if that's who you are, we'll say tonight that, God, I'm a sinner. I sin. I'm a man. I'm a father. I wear all these different hats, God. But tonight, I believe you have a son. Your son's name was Jesus. He came down to earth, walked amongst men, died on a cross, bled, got up the third day, ascended back to heaven at the right hand of his Father. God, I believe that. I'm asking you, Lord, to allow your son Jesus to come live in my life, to help me, God, to be a better man, a better father, a better husband, and a better king. And God, I thank you for every man that has said that prayer. I thank you for every brother that has heard that clarion call, that tonight we're making a conscious effort to bring out the king in us, the father in us, and the man that's in us. So God, we thank you tonight for all that you're doing. We thank you for the airwaves, oh God. We thank you for the internet, for providing such vast connection throughout the world, God. We thank you for the phone lines. We definitely lift up Butterfly Evolution, God, like never before, God. Continue to bless that ministry. Continue to bless the people that's at the head of that ministry, Father God. So I thank you. I honor you. I cherish you, oh Lord God. And God, we ask that you put a hedge of protection about every man that has had the opportunity to hear the word and hear the teaching on tonight, God, that they're going to be the king that you called them to be. I ask you, God, to rebuke the devil off their lives, to rebuke the devil off their finances right now in the name of Jesus, God. We ask you tonight, God, we ask you tonight to do that for us, oh Father God, and we plead the blood of Jesus over their lives. We plead the blood of Jesus over their lives, over their families, over their children, God, so they can be better men, better kings, God. Watch over them, God, like never before, God. In Jesus' name that we pray, amen. And any of you brothers, again, tonight, I'm going to give you my number, my cell number. Some of you may have not had a chance to call in. Maybe I'm not sure about the phone lines, but my cell number is 857-334-7203, 857-334-7203. There may be a brother, there may be a man that wants prayer or just want to have a one-on-one conversation, but that's what we do, man. That's what we're here for. We cover a lot of material tonight. It was a lot of stuff given out, just hoping you were able to grab one or two things that's going to make the difference in your life, because if we can tap into God, or even allow God to tap into us, then we'll make a world of difference around us. Again, my name is Steve Johnson. I have been your host tonight for The King in You, and I just gave out my number there. I believe there's a gentleman that needs to have a conversation, that needs somebody to listen, needs somebody to understand. Again, my number is 857-334-7203. But join us. Tell someone again about The King in You. We'll be back next Tuesday, same time, 9 o'clock, and just letting the world know, hey, there's a king in you, brother. There's a king in you. So it has been a pleasure. If there's someone else need to call, we have a few more minutes. We have a few more minutes. You want to call in? It's 818-691-7406. That's 818-691-7406. 6. Again, this is The King in You. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, for tonight. We will be back next Tuesday. Tell somebody about The King in You and watch what God do in your life. Not just because you told them about The King in You in the radio ministry, but because of your obedience to the word and what it's doing in your life. And what it's doing in your life. That's the blessing. What the word does for us in our lives. Again, there's a few minutes left that you may call in. And as we had recapped earlier, we went from, you know, the question of do we need salvation? What is salvation? And some scriptures that went along with those the penalty for sin, the power of sin, the presence of sin, and the past and the present. And we're gonna finish that out on next week. So it's been an awesome time in the Word of God. Same time next Tuesday. And we're gonna get deeper. We're gonna deal with the future hope of salvation. What it does for us. What do that look like? What do that mean? And we're gonna get a little bit deeper into the things that God has us to go into. So I truly, truly hope that somebody's life has been changed on tonight. Somebody's life has been changed. But God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And thank you again, brothers, for tuning in on tonight. And again, I just hope something was said to make a difference in your life. Because without God, brother, we can do nothing. Without God, we can't really even stand up against this world. We living in it. But, man, without God in our lives, I'm talking about a prevalent force in our life, we don't have a fighting chance. So, again, thank you for listening tonight. God bless all of you out there. God bless your families, your wives, your girlfriends, whomever you're connected to. God bless y'all. And we'll be back next Tuesday. Next Tuesday, same time, 9 o'clock. It's The King in You that God wants to come out. It's The King in You. Again, my name is Steve Johnson. I've been your host for tonight. And we look forward to seeing you on next Tuesday at 9 o'clock. Tell a friend. Tell someone. Tell someone. Like us on Facebook. There's A King in You on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. Also, email us at King in You, KINGEN. Remember, KINGEN at gmail.com. Again, email us, King in You, KINGEN, gmail.com. Again, my name is Steve Johnson. You can call me on my cell. That brother, you can call me on my cell, 857-334-7203. That's 857-334-7203. Thanks a lot. God bless you. And all is well. It's going to be all right. Look forward to seeing you guys on next Tuesday, 9 o'clock. Thanks. Bye.